It's 8:03. It's Monday, July 8th, 2013. Thanks for tuning in to Nantucket's True Island Radio. In the studio with me, we have Tony Wu. He is an underwater diver and photographer being brought to Nantucket, hosted by the NHA, and that's Nantucket Horse Historical Association. Lindsay Scaris is here, and she will be popping on to tell us about the events. But first, let me introduce you to Tony Wu. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And I'm happy to hear that you're not in and out or on and off, so to speak, on the island. You're spending a little bit of time here.
Yeah. I'll be here for a week and a half, almost 2 weeks, actually.
That's great. And before going up on the air, we've had a little chat, and we'll talk more about how you are a traveler, as well as a photographer and an underwater diver. But I hope while you're here, you get to settle into the island a little bit more and find some secluded beaches and get out into the woods. Is that going to be possible for you?
Probably. I mean, I had a chance to go see the 4th of July celebrations, and specifically the water fight, which was really cool. But I was kicking myself because I didn't have an underwater housing with me, because the guys or the people with the fire hoses, it would have been really fun to get right up, right next to them and take photos.
You could have captured something from our island that would have been pretty
it would have been awesome. Yeah. So maybe next time.
Exactly. And when you did say that, when we were talking about it being next time, you said that you haven't been on in America since 1980.
Well, actually, I haven't been in the U.S. for the 4th of July since 1987, and I didn't realize that until I was on the way here on the plane. I was thinking about it and counted back, and then finally remembered that I was actually here in 1987.
So when I originally asked Tony where he was born and raised, he said that would take a little bit more than 15 minutes.
So give us
a quick synopsis so we know what brought you to this place as an underwater diver and as a photographer. How did you get to where you are now?
Okay, well, I guess the short version is I was always interested in the ocean. I mean, even when I was a little kid, I'd end up at the ocean and, stick my head in, go dig around, fight with crabs, bring back stuff, get yelled at by my parents, and all that stuff.
What countries were you in?
Mainly U.S. and Japan at that time. But I'm not Japanese, as my name would indicate, but I have spent a lot of time there. I spent a lot of time in the U.S. and probably, I've never actually counted, but probably a dozen or more other countries on and off, and have been traveling all of my life. Obviously, in the early years, not due to my own decisions. But since then, it's carried on, and I've... I am pretty much on the road for 9-10 months a year, so being able to sit still for 2 weeks here in Nantucket and have no real responsibilities, besides obviously doing a good job tonight and Wednesday night, is actually kind of a luxury. But in the course of all those travels, I mean, I actually worked as an investment banker first, and that was primarily because I needed the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ran a few businesses in various industries, including mobile telecoms and cosmetics, believe it or not. But along the way, I had been taking photos. This was back in the days of film. And taking photos and diving and having fun. And then I started getting to be pretty good and started getting published. And I just decided that I wanted to do this full time.
And sorry to interrupt you. Is it true that you're a self-taught photographer?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, I tend to do not just photography, but everything. If I want to do it, I just decide to do it. And obviously, I try to learn from people who know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot easier now with the internet. But way back in the day, I actually go find people who know what they're doing. And there are people that I learn from that I owe a lot to.
And this is for the underwater photography?
Photography in general, and underwater photography. But, some people learn really well by reading books. Some people learn by sitting in classes. I basically just blew a lot of money. I bought cameras and wasted a lot of film and made a lot of mistakes. And eventually you figure it out.
So you've figured out how to take some remarkable photos.
Thank you.
Why the sea? What about the sea draws you in and...
I don't know. I mean, it's been a lifelong thing. I mean, literally, as long as I can remember, when I was a little kid, I would spend as much time at the sea as possible. I mean, people had to drag me away from the ocean.
So there's never been a fear? And when you dive?
No.
And when you dive?
No, not at all.
It's a different world. Can you explain what the sensation is? Because many of us have never done some diving.
Yeah, I've never actually thought about that. But You know, when you go into, when I go into the ocean, it, well, one, there's a sense of freedom because you have three movement in three dimensions, and you're also effectively weightless. I mean, there's the question of buoyancy, whether you float or you sink. But other than that, I mean, if, especially if you're diving, you can be neutrally buoyant, which means you don't have that sensation of, or you don't have the problem of floating or sinking, and so you're just hanging there, which means you have complete freedom of movement. You can spin around in circles, you can go upside down, it doesn't really matter. And marine life is like that. So once you get accustomed to that, it's liberating.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're swimming in the water with big animals like whales or dolphins or sea lions or any of those animals, they move with complete freedom. And when you learn to change your mindset, because we're a two-dimensional being, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you learn to do that, it just opens up all these new possibilities. And it's quiet down there. But for the sound that we make, there's practically no sound. I mean, there's a lot of sound, but it's not to the extent that we have on land.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not the problem of noise pollution. And if you want to be by yourself with your thoughts, I mean, I go down and I dive for, you know, 3 hours, 4 hours by myself on rebreathers, and there's nobody there. There's no sound. And you just have all these animals around you, and you're in their environment. Like on land, it's totally different, because if you were to, for example, to go on safari and you just went out into the middle of the savannah and sat there, you wouldn't be around very long.
Well, it's curious, because I did a safari in South Africa, and I found that it was a role reversal where I was on a camp. I was contained at night in a fenced area, and the animals were there to run free. So it's curious. I was just going to ask you if you find the experience like I did in South Africa very humbling.
Definitely humbling, but it's not so much a role reversal in the water. In the water, you enter their world,
mm-hmm.
and you are definitely the outsider. But most of the time, they let you in, and you're a part of it. You're right in the middle of what's going on. You know, when you have activity, whether it's fish, small fish, or large fish, or marine mammals, or whatever, when things are going on, you're in the middle of it. You're not an outside observer. You are in it.
We are. Speaking with Tony Wu, he's an underwater diver and a photographer that the NHA is hosting here on Nantucket Island. He'll be giving two presentations. Lindsay will step in and tell us about that. It's 8:10. It's Monday morning. You're listening to Nantucket's True Island Radio, 97.7. One question that's come up for me is communicating with these animals. Are you able to do that? Are you able to feel like there is some sort of communication happening between the two?
Yeah, I have to be careful when I answer questions like this, because I don't want to be I don't want to come across as kind of having lost it. But,
you haven't listened to my show yet,
though. Well,
we like to be really energy based.
Okay.
Out there. So.
Well, the short answer is I think communication is extremely important. Certainly not like the way we're communicating. But these animals that I come across in the ocean, whether they are fish or marine mammals, they communicate with one another. They have their ways of communicating. They have body language. They especially the marine mammals, use their senses, including sight, sound, and just feeling, to figure out what's going on. And part of what I have tried to do and to learn to do, and here's where I risk sounding kind of spacey, is to figure out how they communicate with one another and try to fit in. In other words, not make them fit my needs,
sure.
but fit into what they're doing. And the photos almost come as an afterthought to that. You know, once I fit in and I'm doing things with them, the keeping with,
mm.
And they permit me to do that, then I can get into to positions where I am literally right next to them without, you know, endangering myself or causing them any stress. You know, we're literally playing together.
Sure. And it seems that you need to have that sense of connection, communication, and play in order for them to possibly allow you to take photos.
Yeah.
Because I think
yeah.
that animals, are, because of the less distraction and stimulation. Their intuition is much stronger. Their energetic field and their picking up of an outsider being the same. And when you are, you probably don't have one of those little like throwaway cameras down there. It's probably a very large device that you're now.
Well, yeah. I mean, I use standard SLRs. Right now, I'm using a Canon system, but I also have a Nikon system, and I've used Nikon before, so I'm not partial to any brand, but I'm not using any cameras that are not available to everybody. Mm-hmm. It's just obviously I need to protect it against the elements, so I have a casing for them, and that's basically it. But I think you hit it right on the head when you said earlier that you have to communicate with them. When you see photos, particularly of marine mammals underwater, a lot of times they're kind of far off in the blue, and you see their rear ends, and not intentionally seeing their rear ends, right? And that's basically, I mean, I can take a look at a photo like that and understand that, well, whoever took the photo wasn't actually, they weren't communicating. They were just basically plunge into the water and chase after it, which, you know, sometimes that's called for, like when there's a competition going on, a bunch of males competing for a female, and they're high energy, and they're just charging, and they don't care about anybody or anything, then, you know, it's called for. You are going as fast as you can to try to get into the right position. But most of the time, basically, what I'm trying to do is make sure that that animal knows, especially whales, know exactly where I am, what I'm doing. We've established eye contact. We've established a kind of it's going to sound really spacey, but like a mind contact.
No, that's...
And they, then they're not going to run. And when things go well, which is, you know, the minority of the time, but when things go well, they approach. Mm-hmm. So many of the photos that I have is not me moving toward them at all. I'm still, they're coming to me. Mm-hmm. In which case, I have all the time in the world to figure out which settings, which whatever, so I can actually then take, you know, concentrate on my photos because the animal has decided, I want to play with you.
This is great. We're speaking with Tony Wu, underwater photographer and diver. NHA is hosting him here on the island for a couple of presentations. And it's, you can close that. It's great to hear your relationships with these underwater creatures and how it can happen. And I want to refer back to the remarkable photography that's being shown in the N magazine. You are going to have a slide. Is it going to be a slideshow? How is the presentation going to happen at the NHA?
I'm going to do two presentations. One tonight, one on Wednesday night, and they'll be about around an hour long. I'll have photos, some video, some audio, and I have lots of photos of lots of different types of whales. I'll show a few, but I'm going to concentrate on sperm whales, given the history of Nantucket. It just seemed to make sense. And I actually managed to read Moby Dick. It took me 29 years, but I finally finished a few weeks ago. And I've done some other reading. So I'm familiar with the history of Nantucket now, and I'm going to try to relate everything specifically to Nantucket.
That's wonderful. Before we bring Lindsay up to talk more specifically about what folks will learn when they reach the presentations, I'm curious about, is there one particular sea creature that you are particularly drawn to, and if so, why would that be?
Oh, one?
Okay, a few. I'm not a favorite type person either, but I'm just curious.
I could just go on and on. But I guess among the whales, there are probably two of the big whales that I just cannot get enough of. Mm-hmm. One is humpback whales, because I've spent the most amount of time with humpback whales. I've spent 12 seasons in a place called Tonga down south, and each season being 1 to 2.5 months. More recently, it's been 2.5 months every year. And I've watched, they're in their breeding cycle there, so I've watched just about every aspect of their life cycle, and I have photos of just about everything, except mating and birth, which nobody has photos of. So that's next up. and then sperm whales, of course, just because of... They just look so dorky. I mean, they are. They don't look like they should be, you know, fast, agile, intelligent, well-adapted animals with very high intelligence and curiosity and personality. And they just don't look the part. They look like a long, you know, a lead fishing weight with tail fins on it.
Wow, that's beautiful. I have one final question before we bring Lindsay on, and that is. Do you find You're not a scientist. You're not in there to study them. But do you find that you're intrigued, and then you go back and you do any research, or are you all experience? Are you just experiential in the water?
No, I spend a lot of time researching actually, and although you know it's easiest when I say that I'm a photographer, and I'm definitely not a scientist in that I haven't done a PhD or anything like that, but I have a very extensive background in natural sciences, and I have a lot of friends who are scientists, and I take a lot of notes and record a lot of data, and I do keep records, and I do share that with scientists, and I do come up with crazy theories, some of which are, I think, are I'm pretty sure are right, and that are not scientifically accepted yet. But
will,
I think
will we hear them? Will we hear them?
Some of them, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Do we have a book in the future?
I've done one book. I think I probably will do another book, but... I'm having too much fun right now in the field.
No such thing as too much fun. Tony Wu, thanks for your time this morning. Yep, we're going to bring Lindsay on, and we'll see you both Monday and Wednesday.